Thank you, Kyle and Jess and Dustin and Kat, for leading us in worship this morning. The new year is not quite 36 hours old, and we're still thinking of the year that stretches before us, wondering what it might hold. Longing to start the year, I'm sure, with a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, among the many hymns he wrote was one entitled, I Want to Be Holy. And the second verse of that hymn goes like this, I'm weary of sinning and stumbling, repenting and falling again. I'm tired of resolving and striving and finding the struggle so vain. I long for an arm to uphold me, a will that is stronger than mine, a Savior to cleanse and to fill me and keep me by power divine. We get weary of the resolving and striving, and here we are again at a new year, and again longing for this year to be different and wishing that we could be different and longing for a heart that's clean before the Lord and to walk with Him in closer fellowship in this year that's before us, rather than doing what I ordinarily do on a Sunday morning, which is open a text of Scripture and read it to you and then spend our time digging into that particular text. I want to instead just spend these moments approaching the table of the Lord, our time here with the bread and the cup and remembering Christ our Savior, and thinking in terms of the new year and how we approach the Lord. And so what I'm going to do is just very quickly go through a series of words. There are eight of them. They all start with the letter R. And if you want to write them down, that might be helpful because they will require much more of us than we're able to give to them in this brief time we have together this morning. And so let me just jump right into that. The first word that I want us to think about is the word repent. If we're going to have a clean heart before the Lord, we must repent. Now, you know, I'm sure, that repentance has both a strong negative as well as a strong positive. That is, we're turning away from something in order that we can turn to something. The turning away is the negative. The turning toward is the positive. So the scripture tells us that the followers of Jesus in the early church had turned to God from idols. They had turned away from their worship of idols, and they had turned instead now to face the true and living God, their creator, their redeemer, the God of the Bible, and they became worshipers of the Lord. And that required repentance. So on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preaches and the crowd says to him, well, what should we do? He says, the first thing he says is repent. You need to repent. You need a clean heart. And repentance is more than simply saying to God, whoops, I'm sorry, I messed up, I'll try to do better next time. In fact, when Paul writes to the Corinthians, you remember that there's a first letter to the Corinthians and then a second letter. And in the first letter, he had to deal quite sternly with some sinful behavior in the church at Corinth. And then when he writes to them a second time, he says, I know that when I spoke that way to you, it saddened you. You grieved over that. But then he says, godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. There's a kind of godly grief that we ought to experience when we understand the full extent of the fact that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if we don't grieve over that, the problem is that we have such a small understanding of the glory of God, and the result of that is that we have a small understanding of our own sinfulness. And as we come to understand those things, there is a godly kind of sorrow that comes over us, and as we repent of that. And it's not just a quick thing. It needs to be prayed through. It needs to be something that we come before the Lord and cry out with the psalmist David, Lord, search me, try me, see if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way that's everlasting. So we start with the word repent. Then we move on to the word renounce. Renounce. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. To renounce is to formally proclaim, to go on record of some things that you now reject. You're renouncing them, you're disavowing them. Suppose, for example, that you were, for some reason, found yourself the citizen of a nation that you could no longer support, and you renounced your citizenship. Or when we become a Christian, the reason this is so important is because we are becoming citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And so it's appropriate for us to renounce the things that used to claim our allegiance. How might that look? This example came to my mind as I was thinking about it. I became the pastor of this church in August of 2005, and I followed Pastor Charlie Long. And Charlie and E.G. have been here for 26 years, giving wonderful leadership to this church and impacting many of your lives who are here this morning. And so when I arrived as the pastor, Charlie and E.G. were still here, and they would occasionally worship with us. More often, they worshiped with their beloved Montagnard people, but they would occasionally be here worshiping with us. So one Sunday morning, Charlie and E.G. were here, and at the end of the service, as the service was concluding, I was inviting people to come pray here at the front, meet the Lord here. And I don't remember the nature of that challenge. I just remember that Charlie was among those who came. And I'm suddenly feeling very awkward. I'm, you know, several decades younger than he is. He's been a pastor for all this time period. I thought, am I supposed to go over there and offer my counsel to Pastor Charlie? I'm not quite sure. What's expected of me here in this place? So I remember kneeling down next to Charlie and saying, Charlie, is there anything I could just pray with you about? And he welcomed that for me to pray with him, but said, what he said was this: you know, every once in a while, I just feel like I need to remind the devil whose side I'm on. That sounds like Charlie, doesn't it? It does. Every once in a while, I just need to do that. And I thought, what a wonderful reminder that there are things we need to renounce and we need to go on record because there's a spiritual war going on. We have an enemy who's real. And once we repent, he's not going to let it go at that. He's coming after us. And so we need to be those who go on record and renounce. No, that's not where my allegiance belongs anymore. It used to. The third R word is this: remove. There are things, if we are going to walk with God in this year of 2022, there may very well be some things that we need to remove from our lives. We know they set us up every time for failure. And so there may be some things we need to remove from our homes. Books that don't belong there. There may be some apps you need to remove from your phone. There may be some people you need to remove from your contact list. I have no idea what that might look like in your situation. But there are times when we need to physically remove ourselves from something that we know the enemy will use over and over again to pull us down at some point of weakness in our life. There are places we ought not to go. Maybe there are relationships that we ought not to in any way encourage. The story that comes to my mind here is from back in Genesis 39. You remember Joseph had been sold into slavery by his brothers, and he finds himself now as a slave. He's the manager of the household for Potiphar, who's a high government official. And Potiphar apparently is gone much of the time, and Joseph is there alone, a young man, far from home. And Mrs. Potiphar starts to take note of him. And as you remember that, how that story unfolds, the account says, now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and after a time his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me, go to bed with me. And he refused and said, no, he couldn't do that. His master had withheld nothing from him. accept her. And as the story unfolds, and she spoke to Joseph day after day, seducing him. Day after day, he would not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. He had enough maturity to recognize in this, well, I should not even be with her. Because if I do, I'm going to be in trouble. There are things that we just need to remove. Here's the fourth R word, restore. There are things we need to restore in this coming year. There are godly habits that need to be restored. Maybe there are boundaries that need to be restored. Nourishing relationships that need to be restored. For some, just, and I don't speak this condemning, many of you are listening online, but you need to restore the habit of being in the house of the Lord, if at all possible. You need to be here. You need to be raising your voice with ours in worship. And at the beginning of every year, I know most of us probably have, oh, Lord, I want to be more faithful in having that daily time with you. I want to be more faithful in prayer and in the disciplines of prayer or whatever. There are things I've been thinking about for this coming year that I would hope to encourage and see grow and blossom in my life and my walk with the Lord that I want to be faithfully doing day by day. There are things that need to be restored. This fifth one I almost left out because I know that for many people it would not apply, but in some cases it might. In some cases, there needs to be restitution. If we have wrongly benefited at the expense of another, if we have benefited to the hurt of someone else, sometimes there needs to be restitution. You remember when Jesus is in Jericho, sees Zacchaeus sitting up in the tree, says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to go have lunch with you today at your house. They go to Zacchaeus' house, and as they're having lunch, Zacchaeus blurts out, Lord, I'm gonna make things right. And if I've wronged anyone, and he's a Hebrew, he's a Jew who is collecting taxes for the occupying Roman forces. So everybody in town hates him because they know tax collectors are all cheats. They all take more than they get. That's how they enrich themselves. The Roman government says you have to turn over this much. Anything above and beyond that is yours. And so tax collectors were invariably greedy, self-serving people. And now Zacchaeus is sitting there face to face with Jesus, and he comes to a point of repentance, and he recognizes this, and he says, Lord, if I have wronged anybody here, I'm going to make it up to them four times over. Now, he gets that from the book of Numbers. That's part of the law, that he's required to make restitution. And he's going to do that. That's not an easy thing to do. Here's another word that can be challenging, reconciliation. Sometimes there are relationships that need to be restored, people that we need to get right with. As Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 speaks, he says, so if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come offer your gift. I've been reading Philip Yancey's memoir, which is really a fascinating book. It's called Where the Light Fell. Philip Yancey has written many books. Many of you have read some of them, The Jesus I Never Knew, Disappointed with God, What's So Amazing About Grace, a long list of great, great books that he's written. And this memoir is really fascinating. He grew up in a very, his father died from polio when he was very young, because he believed that God was going to heal him, so he refused to stay any longer in the iron lung. And a few days after he got out, he died. And so the story kind of begins with that tragedy, and they're in this very, very legalistic, fundamentalist group, and it's an interesting story. But at any rate, the surprise to me that I kind of didn't see coming is when he gets to the end of the story, he realizes, you know, there's a number of people that I've hurt along the way. I've wounded some people along the way. I need to make that right. So he goes on what he calls his amends tour. Literally goes so he can meet with these people that are on his list face to face and ask them to forgive him for the hurt that he brought into their life. And we have to make things right. There are times when we need to be reconciled if we're going to have a clean heart before the Lord. And then there are some things, here's the next R word, we're up to number 7 now. There are some things we need to release. We need to let go of. Hurts, bitternesses, anger, grudges, lies about our identity, the whole list. That's why I say we can't possibly do this in a Sunday morning like this. This is going to be your homework. You know, you take these words home with you and start praying your way through these things one by one, because there are probably some things that all of us need to release to the Lord that have been holding us back. And finally, the last word is the word receive. We then need to open our arms and hands and say to receive from the Lord his good gifts, his cleansing, his forgiveness, the fullness of his Holy Spirit. If we're going to do that, we have to do it with faith, first of all. You remember, again, day of Pentecost, Peter's preaching, comes to the end of the sermon, the crowd says, what should we do? What are we supposed to do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized. And then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, just as they were seeing there in action on that day of Pentecost. It's a gift. Some of us have been delighted by receiving some gifts over this Christmas season. What did we have to do to receive the gift? Nothing. You just receive it. It's there. You unwrap it, and there it is. I heard this statement that was a great help to me regarding grace, and it is this. The grace is not merely a negation. It's not just that the Lord takes something away from us that was pulling us down. But grace is also, in addition to being a negation, a taking away of our sin, a cleansing, but grace is also an infusion. Is God pouring into us his good gifts? So, in case you've lost track, here are the words we've been talking about. Repent, renounce, remove, restore, make restitution, reconcile or reconciliation, release, and then receive. Now, what's the R word that's not on that list? Resolution. These are not New Year's Day resolutions where we think, if I try hard enough this year, maybe I'll get it right. That's just you trying your best. That will fail probably. Maybe you'll make it to the end of the month. I'm not sure. Maybe you'll make it to halfway through the year. But the fact of the matter is we've tried and tried and tried. That's why Simpson writes, I'm tired of resolving and striving and finding the struggle so vain. Rather, we, by faith, in humility, recognizing our utter dependence, come to receive. And as we come this morning to the table of the Lord, we are reminded of the goodness of God that we've been singing about. His goodness that never fails us. The cross that he hung on, the body that was broken, the blood that was shed here for us. So that we're not left just trying to somehow live up to a bunch of resolutions again this year. But we're able to say, Lord, here I am in need of your grace, recognizing, Lord, that your grace is not merely a negation, but it's an infusion of your life into me. So we come. So we're going to invite you to come. In just a moment, as I'll lead us in prayer, but let me remind you again of how we do this. If you'll just, as you're ready, in no particular order, just as you would like to do so, you can come to one of these two center aisles and make your way down. The bread and the cup are here on each side. Please take the bread as well as the cup, and then make your way back around the outside aisle and return to your seat. If there are any of you here for whom that's difficult, and you just need someone to help you or bring it to you, if you'll just raise your hand, Jean Yost is there in the back, and she would be more than happy to bring that, just serve you right where you're seated, so that you're able to participate with us. Let me lead us in prayer, and then you come. Father, thank you so much for your great provision for us as we come now to the table of the Lord. Lord, this is just overwhelming to see your love, the love of the Father for us, that you sent your Son, that baby in the manger, one day hangs on a cross, dying our death, bearing our sin. We thank you. And Lord, we know we have no other hope but Jesus. Nothing else we can cling to but Jesus. No other argument that we can make but Jesus. So meet us here again as we remember and give thanks and ask, Father, that you will work in us your great work of repentance and restoration and receiving. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You come as you're ready.